We'll be there. We're getting there. Okay, good. Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're continuing. This is our 19th class in this book. It's called Da'es Atzmacha, Getting to Know Yourself. And we've been working on this for a little while. And basically, this book is trying, before we can learn how to relate with other people, we have to know who we are. If we know who we really are, that will help us take care of many issues, such as depression and bad self-esteem and all kinds of things like that. And the premise of the book basically has been saying until now that a human being has a body and a soul, and to the degree that a person identifies with his soul, he will find all the good that is within the person. And when a person identifies with the body, that is not really who the person is. And this is the challenge that we have in life, is to recognize who we are as opposed to what superficially appears to be who we are. And for this first half of the book, which we're going to be closing up today and starting the second half of the book today, we hope, is it's reflecting on our actions, our emotions, and our thinking, and to really discriminate between what is the real actions that are really attributed to us, the real I as opposed to the external I, the emotions that are attributed to the real I as opposed to the external I. And now we're wrapping up with the thoughts, the primary thoughts that are the real thoughts of the person versus the thoughts that are not really who you are, but what's emanating from parts of you that is not the essential part of the person. And once you can discriminate what the real I is, then we can start coming back to other people and relating to other people in a healthy and a positive way. So for those of you who are here for the first time, you're going to feel a little bit like being thrown into the ocean. But don't worry, we'll help you. And every class has some very good ideas. And we're just finishing up a couple ideas about the thought processes, and then we'll move on to a different idea. So what I usually do is I read through the book. Some people have the Hebrew book, some people have the English book. I read a little bit, and we discuss a little bit, and hopefully we walk away with something more to think about in trying to get to know ourselves. Remember, a lot of what we perceive ourselves to be is what society has told us to be. And a lot of it isn't really who we are. It's people who want to make money from you are telling you what to be. And you believe those things, and then that's not really who you are. And that's why a lot of people are unhappy. So we're trying to find out who we really are. That's really what this book is all about. So we left off on page Kuf Mem Ches, and in the English on page 120, Gvonim Shonim Shal Machshavas Ros, different kinds of evil thoughts. Okay? And we're talking about, you know, things that people think about, and things that we're exposed to. Last week we spoke about, what was the main thing we spoke about last week? Newspapers. Right? When you look in the newspaper, there's a lot of things we read in the newspaper that are not really very good things. And the most important idea we brought across in the last 2 weeks is what a person is thinking is where the person is. That was the point we said in the last 2 weeks. Which if you're thinking about something, the dominant part of you is your thoughts. If you're thinking about something that's terrible, then that's where you are. And that you're putting yourself in that place. And spiritually, a lot of these things are very repulsive. They're very negative types of things. And they really, the analogy we gave last week, if you'd walk by the city dump, you would hold your nose. Because it's really disgusting things. And it's not a healthy thing to be hanging around the garbage dump all the time. So there are things that we read and hear about all the time that are spiritually stink, as it were. And if we would be more attuned to that, to our souls, we would realize this is stuff I don't want to even be involved in. To the degree that we think that this is the general course of life, to that degree we are exposing ourselves to very unhealthy places to go to. And then we begin to believe that that's normal. But really it's very unhealthy. So that's what we spoke about a lot last week. I mean, and you'll see, maybe we'll even talk about what the current events of today and yesterday, that how we should internalize what's happened. I mean, what I'm talking about is what happened in Haiti, right? I don't know how many people, terrible earthquake, and hundreds of thousands of people have died there. What?
Mm-hmm.
Why was he in Haiti?
Business.
Oh, business. Okay. Anyway, so that's where we're at. So at the bottom of page Kuf Mem Ches and page 120. The part that is evil of the thoughts in our minds can be divided into different types of categories. There's different bad thoughts a person thinks about himself. For example, negative self-esteem. If you think that you are not successful, if you think that you're not really making it in life, that's not good thoughts. That's not good thoughts. And we have to realize where those thoughts are coming from. It's not really coming from a healthy place. So that's one type of, we'll call it negative thoughts. We discussed how we can, in earlier chapters, we discussed how to get rid of those thoughts. There's bad things we see that other people do. And they become captured in our thoughts. Yeshem dvorim shu shamea, they're things that you listen to. Yeshem dvorim shu olim b'dimyon ha'adam shem yichayim lios. And then there's things people imagining doing certain things. Hu lo shama shem kari, didn't hear that they happened. Lo ra shem kari, didn't see that they happened. Avol olos lo kol mine machshavos, but these thoughts come to him. So b'cholos, so in general, im kein yeshem sugim rabi mod shu machshavos shu. There's all kinds of negative thoughts. Imodam yispona la'asu meshech yom yomayim. If a person would reflect with himself every day on his thoughts, he should be able to identify what these thoughts are, visavego sam bechaluka shotovra, and then categorize them into positive and negative thoughts. Yuchol la'achar mikan l'kachas es kol ha'machshava shal ra she'avra b'mochol u'lechalkan l'kama k'masum. Then he could take all those negative thoughts that he had through the day and categorize them into different thoughts. And that's what he's going to talk to us. He's going to give us now some practical ideas about doing this. And really this is a good exercise. The rabbi in this book is constantly giving us different exercises. And if we would do them, we would advance in this. And learning it in the classroom, but we have to apply them at home. So he's going to say in the next section here. We're in the middle of 120. Okay. So now let's reflect on a fundamental point. How do we uproot the essential reality of the negative thoughts that are found in the thoughts of a person? If a person, this is the main point of this book, if a person can identify himself as a soul that is enclosed with a body, but your primary essence is your soul, and you identify with your soul, any negative thought disturbs the essential eye of the person. Zelo mashal, this isn't just an analogy. Zelo melitza, this is not an exaggeration. If a person really is in touch with his soul, he's really in touch with his soul. So hamachshava ra mafriya lo kemo mecher adokeres bebasar chai. A negative thought disturbs him like a needle that goes right into your flesh. He can't listen to it. He can't even think about it. That's the person who's really has reached a level that we haven't reached yet. Person can reach a level where they're so in touch with their soul that when a negative thought comes, it's painful. They don't want to think about it because it's so foreign to what the person really is. But if you haven't gotten to that stage yet, naturally, he hasn't yet reached that level, and he doesn't yet identify totally as a soul that's included in a body. So what do you do? So in order to sharpen this ability, a person has to develop self-awareness. He has to take a little bit of time of self-awareness. Everyone depending on the time they have. And let your mind explore. When you think about something good, you should identify the good that's in those thoughts. And you will develop a spiritual attachment to this. Okay, now he's going to give you a specific example. Ludugma, for example. And this is something we should be working on. Ukare bi'iton moda shematzia ezra laploni. Let's say you're reading the newspaper and there's an advertisement or announcement of a place that is providing help for a certain individual. La'almoni, l'cholim, niskak v'doma. Okol suk ezra l'shalotia. You find an announcement paper. Again, he only reads Jewish papers. This rabbi, you know, if you look at the real religious papers, like what are the advertisements? They're not advertising Nike. You know, they put advertisements. There's a needy Jew who needs help. Anyone who wants to donate, please give a tax receivable check to this and this foundation. And you look at in very religious newspapers, that's what you find in the newspaper. So you read such a thing that people are helping. You're reading about an organization helping handicapped people, whatever. You're reading something about that. So you should start thinking about it. So what activity are these people really providing? Think about it. What is this organization doing? You read an announcement. Let's say it's coming before Pesach. This organization is doing a food drive. Okay, so you read it. So it goes in one ear, goes out the other. But no, that's a time to start reflecting. You don't let that go. That's a very good, healthy happening that you should be integrating. That's a real good stuff. And you should think about this. So what am I reading? What am I reading about? Hatova Lazulus. Somebody doing something nice to somebody else. Now, how often do you think about that during the day? Usually you think about people trying to rip you off. Right? Hostile takeovers. All these negative things that are very painful for one's soul. And you're kind of ignoring there's a lot of amazing things out there that you could be identifying with. The idea being the more you identify with good, healthy experiences, remember the key is where you think, that's where you are. We proved that already. Those who are new, you'll have to accept that. But that's really the truth. Where you think, that's where you are. So, okay, you're reading about an organization that's doing a food drive. Let's think about it. Right? Think about it. Oh, there's probably 100 volunteers. They're getting food packages from people, and then they're putting it and sorting it and organizing it, and then they're giving it to people a couple days before Pesach, these people who don't have any food. And look, now they have a whole big box of food, and their whole holiday has changed. Now, do you think about that when you see that little clip? Right? It's like, wow, that's like really nice. That's really nice. You know, you gotta pause, you gotta mull over this good thing. You go through the details of someone helping the poor. And the truth is, you could see this even in very terrible images. There's always a lot of good you can find in the image. For example, you know, like 9/11. 9/11, you know, as terrible as it was and was horrific, and it's got a lot of negative things, terrorists trying to kill people, people dying and screaming and jumping off of buildings. That's really like not good thoughts. So what, should I not know about it? Should I not look at it? No, there's a lot. There's a lot of wonder. Now, what would the person who identifies with his soul and wants to identify with good, happy, healthy concepts, what would you be thinking about? What would the very spiritual, attuned person who identifies, well, how would he be looking at those news events? He said, look at those amazing firefighters. They're willing to risk their lives. All of a sudden, all these people who never spoke to each other, they're pitching in and they're helping people. You know, and the truth is, you know, as bad as what happened was, but I don't think you ever felt America so cohesively together at that point in time. And not so much just because a bad guy hurt us, but all these people who were just helping each other. It was a tremendous amount of good was permeating out of New York City and all around the people from other cities. I think firefighters from other cities were coming and other ones were giving grief counseling and all the kind of things. There's tremendous amounts of kindness.
More blood that was donated.
Blood, like all these things that's going on, people trying to help. And these are thoughts that are really healthy thoughts. Those are good thoughts. And you have to ask yourself, he's going to say, do I identify with this? Is this something I really, would I do this? If I was in New York, would I do this? Or would I be trying to make money out of this? Right? This is, I really, so again, the idea is if you're thinking about it, and you're going through in your mind all the good that's happening, that's where you are. And this begins to, and this is really where your soul wants to be. These are the healthy, happy thoughts, the natural feelings and thoughts that a Jewish, and for that matter, a non-Jewish soul should be feeling. And the more you're feeling with that, then you're more in tune to what your essence really is. And this, you know, and it continues and it grows and it builds within the person. Right, continuing. For us whom he's boning besoratzmo, then he reflects on himself. Do I identify what these guys are doing or not? Whom he's boning reflects whom a galaziu nafshi panimi latovazu. He reflects and he reveals an inner soulful identification to this good activity. So now he soulfully connects to this point of good that's going on. To this point of good that is running through his mind. And you can go through so many positive things through a day, good actions, nice character that's revealed, good thinking and good outlooks on life. Every good thing that happens in the world, and he goes through his mind, he dissects it, that it's good, and he tries to connect in a true soulful way to the good that is over there. You know, a lot of times you read stories of great Torah leaders, like the Chafetz Chaim, who's a big tzaddik, you know. Sometimes, you know, when you read stories about great, great rabbis, like the self-sacrifice, we all kind of say, well, that's kind of beyond us. It's good for him. It's not for me. But there's a lot of stories about regular people and those simple people, as it were, quote unquote, and those people we can relate to more a lot of times. So this is a regular guy. Look what he did. Look at how he went out of his way to help people. Do I identify with that? Am I that kind of person? Do I want to be that kind of person? And you go through this over and over about, you know, you got to think of all, and it doesn't have to be an event. You can make up these thoughts. You could think of a parent loving a child. Just think about it. Is that a nice thought? A parent loving a child? What a parent would do for a child? It can get you thinking about, you know, how you love your children. How much do I really love my children? It's hard, you know, during a whole day, like the day I had today, like I don't have time to think about if I love my children. Like there's so much going on. Like I had to take out before I left, I was spending 20 minutes taking the garbage. I remember when there's 10 people in the house, how much garbage is in the house? How much garbage is in the house? And today was six bag day. You know, I look forward to those days. Those are banner days in our house. And if anyone looks more forward to it, it's my wife. You know, and it's all piling up in the garage and all the blue bins and this and that. And it's, so, you know, you got that. You got all the things that are going on with the shul and all these things. And, you know, you don't have time to think about, you know, do you love your kids? I'm too busy doing things. I have no time to love them, right? That's, most of us have this kind of pressure, right? But to stop and reflect and to think about how good it is to love your children. Do I identify with loving my children? Right? Then you start thinking about how God loves his children. And God must love us much more than we even love our children. And how there's God manifesting his love with us. It's a much happier way to go through the day, no? You know, and you know, even if the garbage, there's nice things to think about the garbage. Baruch Hashem, we make so much garbage. You know, poor people don't have garbage. Poor people don't have garbage. You know, think of all these empty water bottles. Baruch Hashem, look how many water bottles we drank in the house. Thank God, you know, a big box of Pampers I had to crack. You know, you have to make all the paper of a huge. My daughter, we have our grandchildren, two grandchildren are living in the house. You know, so I said, oh, Baruch Hashem, I got to collapse the diaper. That means the baby went through 100 diapers this week. Thank God. Thank God he's not on a machine. Baruch Hashem, all the garbage means there's always a lot of food was eaten. And thank God I had the money to pay for the food. It must have been thousands of dollars of food. It's represented in all the garbage that was there. Now I could look at the garbage and say, oh, I was thinking about, you know how it is in a house. There's always one person who really has to take certain responsibilities in certain areas, you know. So like, who takes the blue out into the cold? Right? And if they do, if they do your fair, they just throw it into the garage. And then you come to the garage and you have this huge mess. You know, because nobody wants to do it. So everybody has the area where they shine in. So my area is the garbage. Yeah, it was destined, because I remember the first year I was in sleepover camp when I was 7 years old to the now defunct Camp Shore in Aurora, Indiana, which became Camp Stone. So I was seven, so I won the cleanliness award. So I guess it was, what a nebby kid, right? It's interesting, the guy who was my junior counselor, this guy, Lorne Fink, that guy who's now 60 years old, who moved to Toronto, he was my junior counselor. I reminded him. He couldn't believe it. Anyway, so now you got all this garbage, and that really can put you in a lousy mood. It really can put you in a lousy mood. So I say, let's look at all the good that's in the garbage. Now, this isn't just shtick. This isn't just, he says like a mind game. But that's the real truth. The real truth is, thank God, for 2 weeks, my family ate well. Thank God. God loves me. And the check was cashed at the end of the month. Thank God the shul had the money to pay me. And for Jewish institutions at this time of financial crisis, thank God. You know, there's other teachers in other Jewish schools haven't been paid for 3 months. So Baruch Hashem, I was paid and I had the money and we had all the food and made all that garbage. And then you can just say, wow, Baruch Hashem, you know, I wish I could have got more garbage next time. Because it really means some wonderful things were going on. That's what your soul really wants you to think about. When you think about it that way, you're happier. And it's not like phony baloney shtick. That's the real thing. That's what it really is. Everybody looks, ugh, I gotta think of the guy. I hate taking out the garbage. So, what does that do to your mind? What does it do to yourself? You're doing things you don't like? Well, then you're not going to be happy. So I like taking on, it's my privilege. It's my mitzvah. I keep the house is clean. Baruch Hashem, there's no roaches in the house, no rats in the house. I'm taking the garbage out. Thank God the city picks up the garbage. You know? So, this isn't like phony pop psychology. This is the truth. This is the real truth. It's even a mitzvah in the Torah to be clean. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. I'm doing a mitzvah also. I can't go wrong on any fronts. So why do people think it's so lousy? You know why? Because I could have the nanny do it. I could have the nanny do it. What do I have to do it for? So, you know, why should the nanny get all the mitzvahs? You know, and what's wrong if I do it? Well, do I have something that much better to do? I mean, I'm taking care of my family. It's part of taking care of my family. Thank God it's so many people in the house. So Baruch Hashem. So that's when you could look at a situation. Two people could take out the garbage. One's miserable. Then one's happy. Where you're thinking is where you are. You have to always remember that's the most powerful message. So you go through the day. What have you been thinking about? How happy are the messages? Right? So if they're unhappy messages, they're usually body-orientated messages. If they're happy messages, they're usually coming from the soul. Coming from the soul, that's what you're getting in touch with. Okay, so you hear what's going on in Haiti. Some people can get very depressed. It's terrible. But, you know, you read, you know, but right away you're seeing people that want to help, and Obama says we're going to quickly help and bring in, give money and this and that, and all these things, and you focus on all the good that's coming out of these activities. That's a trained mind would be thinking this way. Okay, where am I here now? Right at the back. On the other hand, On the other hand, let's look at the verse. Kesher hu mizah etzel atzel machshavah shlis. If you identify with negative thoughts. So now what are you going to do? What are you going to do if a negative thought starts to come? Or you are been exposed to something very negative. Somebody wants to tell you some gossip. Did you hear the latest about the Schwartzes? They're breaking up, and then she's doing this, and he's place. You know, that's kind of negative. So what are you going to do now? If you're on the high spiritual level, it stinks. You don't even, phew, you know. But we're not there yet. There's a little bit of a Yetzer Hara that says, what is wrong with the Schwartzes, right? I'd like to hear what's wrong with the Schwartzes. But Ha'etzah Chitzoni, see, right now in the beginning, the external advice we can give you is, Lasich Menem Yadadas, just distract yourself. Drop it. Just let it go. Don't even look at it. Don't entertain it. Don't think about it. Because you just have to remove yourself from that. He says, "Uvavadei shebetchilas avodasan." In the beginning, when a person works on this, lifnei shegiel l'shalav anochichi zu avodaso. So, before you get to the good level, this is the way you got to work at it. Negative things come, just drop it. It's out. I'm not interested in it. Since you haven't gone through the whole levels, so you have to just not think about those things at all. Okay. Now, but if you've gone through all the processes, now he's going back to everything. If you've gone through all the processes of the book, and you're beginning to separating what are the negative things from the positives, of course, no one's going to do it so perfectly. But relatively, you've already begun to separate your actions. This is from the last few chapters. For Hivri des Atov Meira, you separate the good from the bad. Hubirer Barama Gavoyas Elam Hargosha Shalo, you began to separate your feelings. For Hivri des Atov Meira, you separate the good and bad feelings. Atu Olam Hashavos. Now we're working on the thoughts. Okay. In other words, he's saying if you've been in the program beforehand, it's going to be a little easier. But even at this point, this is what you have to do. You have to just throw away those bad thoughts. So, when you begin to start determining what your thoughts are identifying with, you have to think again. Everything you're looking at, is this positive or is this negative? So, a person can say, "Ra, it's negative." You're reading something in the newspaper. You're watching something on the news. This is negative. How many wrote? Do I want to be like this person? Okay, we're talking a lot of talk about Tiger Woods lately, right? So, right? I know, Jeanette, you still don't know who he is. Okay, you're lucky.
I know who he is, I just don't know.
I'm saying. So, another, the latest revelation. The latest revelation of Tyra. So, listen. Do you want to be him? Do you want to be who he is? No, I don't want to be who he is. Whoa. So what do I want to think? Why do I want to be spending my time thinking about him? It's only negative things. What do I want to think about?
What we, we don't want to watch TV because we're going to see so much negative. And then how do we know about the positive, the firefighters? Or do we watch to see the positive?
Again, what I would say, again, it a lot depends where you're at. Okay, I'm talking to a broad cross-section of people. I'm talking to some people who are watching television 4 hours a day. I'm sorry, that didn't mean you are. I know people are getting very sensitive where I'm looking in the room. It's like, why is he looking at us when he said that? You know, there's certain people who watch television 4 hours a day. There's some who watch 2 hours a day, some watch 1 hour a day, some don't watch any hours a day. You know, and you know, it's where everybody's at. If a person is into watching television, I can't tell them to stop watching television, right? So I can say at least try to focus on what are the good aspects of it, right? But in general, I mean, we know like 99% of it is negative. Very little positive that's over there. And so you'd be better off not watching that. So you're asking, how would you find anything positive? Find anything positive? Look at your own life. Look at your own life. I told you, I take out the garbage. It's very positive. There's a lot of positive things throughout the day that you can really identify with that are there.
I understand that, what I meant in terms of the bigger picture. So, the world out there. But I think what you're saying is, if you're at the level where you can watch it and see the positives that are going on, then you can watch it. If the level where you're seeing the negative part of it, then stay away.
Yeah, and the truth is, once you're used to staying away, then you're not craving to come back to see it. And the truth is, you'll find out about anything that's really important in this world, without a television, believe me, you will find out about it. You know, you'll find out. I found out I had another granddaughter. I wasn't watching television. And they told me I have a granddaughter. Okay. So that's a lot of positive thoughts. A lot of good positive thoughts. Somebody else has a granddaughter. That's a positive thoughts. You don't know anybody who got engaged recently? Positive thoughts. Somebody was born, you know. There's a lot of good things going around the world. And they don't have to be so huge and news making. There's a lot of just simple kindnesses that go on in the world that you really could think a lot about in the course of a regular day, the people you meet, the things that you do. That's there all the time. The garbage man's going to take the garbage out tomorrow. That's a very positive thought. Baruch Hashem. There's a lot of positive things going on that one can expose one to. Right? But when you're seeing these negative things, like, so you got to say, you know, there is this curiosity. So let me see. So what are they saying about him? What is he doing now? So, but do you want to be like that? No. So then what are you making, getting these depressing ideas to come into you? Even though you never would be what he is. But those are the kind of things you got to kind of push away. Right? Lo, I don't want to be like him. But if I think about it, that's going to put me there. Mechaberes osil l'sham connects me there. V'kimin shen eni rotzi lios, because I don't want to be like this. V'eni rotzi l'schaber lo l'nashim esugas. I don't want to connect to these kinds of people. Lo mikom esugas. I don't want to be in these kinds of places. Hey, so right now, echtoch kivyachol v'asim sham, I'm cutting the thought out. That's it. K'moshe gozim niyom misran. Just like you cut a paper with scissors, just cut the thought out. And get out of there. And let's move on to something else. Let's move on to another thought. Right now, you know, it's very interesting. You know, there was a time when the distinctions between good and evil were clear. Yeah. You know, maybe just about as I was growing up, we were losing that. I think the 60s destroyed that.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the watershed time. I mean, there was a time, you know, because now there's all this relativism. Who are we to say what's bad? Yeah. Right? So now it's hard to define things. It used to be very clear. Nazis were bad. Communists were bad. They were the bad guys. And you knew what was bad. And whatever Nikita Khrushchev said, you knew was bad. And you don't want to have nothing to do with him. Right? Bad was really bad. Right? But now, bad is good. You know? Leroy Brown, he was a bad, bad man. You know, they right? Circa 1971? Right? What? So he's a bad dude. Like, that's a good expression. Like, so it's very hard. And you know, things that the Torah says are not good. You know, nowadays, secular world is packaging things by, you know, making the bad things seem very positive and putting positive things on these things so that, you know, who are you to say this is bad? So, okay, I don't want to get into detail and make enemies, so quickly tonight. But what a person first has to do, you have to realize there is good and there is bad. You know, well, let's take something that less people will be offended about, right? What do we call terrorists today? They're not called terrorists. Well, they're terrorists if they're on a United States plane. But if they're Israel, what are they called?
Freedom fighters.
Militants.
Militants and freedom fighters, while Israelis living are called settlers. Right? So now what's better, what's worse, a militant or a settler? So you see how they're positioning it, so you don't even know what good and bad is. So that's already another challenge that he's not getting into in the book here. You know, what really is good? What really is bad? But, you know, hopefully, you know, we can still get some semblance of understanding, and that's why God gave us a godly intellect to really understand the difference in good and bad. Really, it's still achievable. But you have to just not believe everything that people tell you. So now, so you have to decide, you know, so those negative thoughts, I'm getting them out. There's nothing, there's no value to that. I don't want to be there. You should make in your mind, is this what you want to be? No, then why am I thinking about it? You know, like if you read, a place like, you know, when you go by Sobeys, all the trash rags that are right there for you, even just to pick it up. You know, like, why do you want to look at it? This one, they're getting divorced, and this one's killing this one, and that one died from a drug overdose. Do you want to be there? No. So what are you looking at it for? But there is this Yetzer Hara called curiosity. I'm just curious, but why? But you don't want to be there, so just don't look at it. So that's what you have to just not looking at it. Klomer, whom is Zaba Beres Ashlubadavar, he clearly sees the negative that is there. And truthfully, now that is a great accomplishment for a person to identify your own negative thoughts. To stop and say, well, am I just thinking, was this a positive thing or is this a negative thing? You know, and sometimes there's a lot of combinations and mixtures and, you know, let's give a hypothetical example. You know, let's say a person's a member in a shul. Okay? Member in a shul. And it's a really nice shul. He likes the shul. Nice people in the shul, nice rabbi. I'm saying hypothetical, right? And, you know, people are nice, and he goes to Torah classes. He enjoys the Torah classes, and the davening is beautiful, and there's nice people in the community, and the person is growing, and all these things. Then one fine day, he has a yahrzeit, he wasn't given a prestigious aliyah to the Torah. Right? The gabbai made a mistake and didn't give him a prestigious aliyah to the Torah. So the guy says, I'm leaving the shul. Right? So why are you leaving the shul? You know, we haven't had that yet. We haven't had that one. We've had a lot of things. We haven't had that one. I tried to pick one that we haven't had so no one will think I'm talking about anything. Right? Gotta be careful. Whatever I say, people are wondering, what was he talking about? So this one never happened. Thank God we haven't gone into that domain yet. You know? So you got to think, anybody else looking at that says, what a mishigas. What is this? It's crazy. You know, it's hard for that person to acknowledge, was this a good thought or a bad thought? You know, like, so they didn't give me this honor. They didn't give me this honor. So the fact that I'm upset that they didn't give me an honor, is that a good thought or is that a bad thought? To dissect it yourself and say, that's a bad thought. So the guy made a mistake. It's not the end of the world, right? And then a person will say, no, I don't care. I'm leaving the shul. It's the second time in 28 years that this happened. It's too many times. I can't forget it 27 years ago where he forgot it. And I'm leaving.
Good.
Right? So, but what you gotta do, you gotta be smart and say, this is a mishigas. This is crazy. I gotta overlook this. Right? And really, you love the shul, you love everything about the shul. So the question is, you have to ask yourself, in this hypothetical scenario, is it a good thing for you to leave the shul, or is it a bad thing for you to leave the shul? I mean, is it good or is it bad for you? Being honest, it's really bad for you to leave the shul. So why don't you show? Because you can't let this thing go by. So that's that ability to discern, you know, what's really good and maybe you have to kind of admit that maybe you like honor a little more than you should. Maybe you should admit you're kind of a melodramatic person. Right? So that the person has to self-analyze within himself. And that's a big job. That's what he's saying, to be able to pick apart these thoughts. You know, the human being is a fascinating specimen to look into. And probably the most fascinating one is yourself. And to really, you know, you don't have to pay a psychologist to tell you what's wrong with you or what's right with you. You could know it. It's not hard. Anybody who's honest can figure it out. Really, it's not hard. You just say, I'm going to be honest. And that's all. And just think about the things you're thinking about. And say, is this a good thought? Is this a bad thought? Right? So if a person is able to clarify exactly what are the negative thoughts, humazaba bearer, shamach shava shabadavar, he matzah sposamalam. You know, when you think about this, it's putting you in that place, sposat fis, in that grasp. So if you know that's what it's doing to you, humanasik as asa ofa mudavach shava shis, you right away have a self-awareness and get rid of it and throw it out. Okay. The truth of the matter is, the rest of the chapter is just saying the same thing four different ways. So I'm going to skip till the end of the chapter, you know, because it's really he is a little bit wordy and we have to keep things moving along. But he just emphasizes. But you got to do everything sequentially. First, work on analyzing your actions, then analyze your feelings, and then analyze your thoughts. Things he's done earlier in the book, and he's saying if you do it in the right order, you'll be able to do this. If you don't analyze your actions, you don't analyze your feelings, it's going to be hard to be honest when you analyze your thoughts. If you're still doing a lot of bad things, then you're not going to think that the thoughts that are bad are bad. So he's just saying we have to make sure we're doing everything here. Okay. Let's start with the next section. The next section you'll find extremely fascinating. I find it extremely fascinating. chapter 8, okay?
Chapter 8?
Oh, it's in the Hebrew, it's chapter 8. And for you, it's chapter 7. In the Hebrew, it's perikhas. That makes it so difficult. In the English, it's chapter 7. Now what he's going to turn around, and he's going to go the other way now. For the last couple months, we've been looking at, you're in your own world, analyzing yourself. So hopefully, now again, this is a good thing to read on your own, review it. We're only going through it here. But once you've worked a lot on your own, now it's time to get back to people. Once you finally analyze who the good in you is and what the good in you is are, and this is what I really identify with, now you're in a healthy position to start relating to other people. And that's when we're going to talk about the real kind of love. And we're going to now begin to discriminate as we now have interrelations with other people. And this is where I just find it extremely fascinating what he says in this chapter. We're just going to start it this week, and unfortunately you're going to have to come back next week to hear more about it. But it's really just wonderful things. So we're going to skip the little introductory part over here. And, okay, I'll just read a little bit. Kefishin is bar. As we explained earlier in the book, the idea of subjugation and separation, terms he explained earlier, this is the service of dissecting and cutting away and segregating the negative things. To separate the negative things from a person. Then there's that third part, the one we haven't talked about yet. Is what? Avodas hamtaka, the service of sweetness. In Yana Hapuch, it's the opposite. Lis achei lis mazeg, to join and integrate with others. Everything we've been doing till now has been in a separation mode. I'm away from people, I'm analyzing myself, and I'm away. But the whole purpose of going away is to be able to come back in a healthy way. So Parizgarnu Kishiv, and Dubar al Achnov, I've already explained, we talk about this subjugation and separation. We talked a lot about earlier in the book about being in the world of alone. To be alone with yourself in solitude. Shein tachas adam hegal. The goal is not to be away from people, be a hermit. Elis achet. The goal in life is to be with people. That is the way God made the world. He wants us to be with people. That's the healthiest thing for us, is to be with people. That is the goal. Hachnov avdolahem shalav. This subjugating and separating the negatives and being away, that's just a step. Shvil bavodas adam. It's one of the pathways of service. But it's all l'shem yisachlus. The end of Judaism and the end of life is to be with people. When God gave us the Torah at Sinai, there were 3 million Jews who were together. Right? God wants us to be together, to get along, and to be with each other. That is the optimal state of life. Right? So, therefore, v'achnov avdolahem, yeah, so that's for that purpose. And that being together is called mystically sweetness. How sweet it is to be loved by you. Right? Right? That's it. That's what it is. It's sweetness. It's real sweetness.
Golden oldie night.
Right? It's, what can I say? But in the brackets, what do you say in the brackets? But omik, in depth. Tachlis avodas adam hu lichyos mahalach shel tnuah. The goal of a person's life is to always be in motion. We're always in flux. You should have the bracket. No? Do you have the bracket?
No.
Okay, then you'll just have to listen to me. Or maybe it's not in bracket. No, you're right. You don't have it. You don't have it. Just listen. Ulahepech on the opposite. What is, I'm sorry, what? Matzav shel bedidus, you move from the environment of being alone, lematzav shel isachtus, to an environment of being social. Ulahepech on the reverse, mimatzav shel isachtus, when you're in a social group, then lematzav shel bedidus, to go into a private, alone. Vechozik ulahem, and it goes back and forth. We mentioned Hebrew, the two Hebrew buzzwords are hayochid vahayachad. Hayochid, being alone, it's the words in Hebrew are almost the same. Alone and hayachad, being together. The roots of both words are almost the same letters. Yochid and Yachad. Yochid means alone, Yachad means together. How could that be? How can a Hebrew, you find in Hebrew is fascinating. You take roots, always, it means one thing and also the opposite. So it's really a core of it's the same thing. Because when you're alone, your thoughts have to be together. You know the expression, you gotta be put together? See, when you're alone, you gotta be together. With yourself. You're put together and you say, this is bad, that's not me, this is good, this is me, then you're put together. So now I can be with other people and I can be together with other people. Who has more problems getting along with people? The person who doesn't get along with himself. So if you're yachad, if you're yochid, if you're alone, but you are together in your aloneness, then when you're going to be with people, you will be able to healthfully be together with other people as well. So that's what life is, going back and forth. You know, people like to say they're either introverts or extroverts. Neither one is good. You gotta be both. A healthy person's gotta be an introvert and extrovert. You gotta have both. There's a time where you wanna be alone with your thoughts, and there's a time you have to be together with other people. That's what being a human being, a healthy human being, has to have both. I think in today's society, not a lot of people wanna be alone. This is a very scary place to be. Because they don't know how to be alone with themselves. This book is telling you how to be alone with yourself and be happy. Taking out the garbage and being happy. Right? They don't want to be alone. They'll be with other people to distract themselves. But they're not having healthy relationships with people either, you see. So you have to keep going back and forth. He says, Zu avodat daka. This is a very precise service. Kate said, Lenasek benevish kochevah. How you go, you know, this way and then this way. Kamasman, how much time with one and the other. How can we give an analogy to this? Now we're back into what you have in the book to illustrate. If you give someone something bitter to eat or drink, what's their reaction? You want to separate yourself. Tastes terrible. You give somebody something very sweet. Naturally, he wants to bind with that. To bring it into himself. Oh, it's a nice, sweet drink. I want to bring it in. Right? This is what we talk about sweetness. His achtus, being together. His mazgus, merging. Reishis kol ama klaus, the beginning of the Jewish people. That's what it's all about. La'achar mikan, la'ach, small print. La'achar mikan im kolmo. Oh, originally we try to be together with the Jews, then later on, to be with the entire world, the non-Jews, and then to be bound with everything in creation, where it says levels. You first have to be alone with yourself and be happy with yourself. Then you can be unified with the rest of the Jewish people. Then you can be unified with the rest of the world, and that, you know, other non-Jewish people. And then you can be unified with every single thing that's on the planet. But before we can unify with the non-Jews, we first got to know who we are first. Right? We are first, as the Torah says, an Am Levadad Yishkan. We are a nation that dwells alone. We are a nation that dwells alone. And we have to know who we are as a Jewish people. And then when we know who we are as a Jewish people, then we'll try to lead the world to a better understanding of God and peace on earth as we're looking for. But it's all a progression. But it's all of life is unity. That's the way God wants it. That's when the Mashiach comes. That's what's going to be. It's going to be unity. It's not good people, nations fighting with each other. That's not a good thing. It's not good people fighting with each other. The way God wanted, the way, and the way the human being functions the best way, believe it or not, is with people. And then people with larger groups of people, and the entire Jewish people, and then to the whole world. Next page. So let's try to explain this a little bit. He says, there's a mystical concept that within the Jewish people, the collective Jewish people, there's 600,000 root souls. Kidu is well known. In the whole world, you have tons of people. When we look at things in a physical way, with bodies, everybody is his own entity. Every person's body is its own individual reality. So how do you unify all these different people? In other words, how do you define the word unity? You know, all us, everyone talks about we have to be unified, the Jews have to be unified. You know, everybody talks about it, nobody knows what it really means. That's what he's going to talk about in the next couple pages. What is unity? How do you define Jewish unity? How do you define unity in a marriage? Unity in a family. You got these different bodies. You got 10 different bodies in the room. How are they united? Right? How do we have that? I mean, if anything, they're separated. I have my body, you have your body. How can we? How are we together? We're not together. I'm in my body, you're in your body. If anything, we're apart. So he says, in order to unify people, b'chtei la'achedes b'nei adam, we have to go back to the fundamentals that we said in the very beginning. And the truth is, when things are really together, you see some beautiful things. Like, you know, like again, when you saw all the acts of kindness in 9/11, that was a certain kind of unity, which we'll have to explain. And there was a certain sweetness when you see that happening. There's a certain uplifting feeling, even in music, when you put notes together and there's a unity in the music, it's such a beautiful thing to hear. Watching your children getting along, those rare moments, is an extremely sweet moment. You know, don't you think those of you who come to our shul and you're there for Ne'ila at the end of Yom Kippur, and there's, you know, 600, 700, 800 people all singing together, and crying out, you know, Shema Yisrael together. Don't you get a little warm, fuzzy goosebumps? You know, and we're all there together, right, for a brief moment. So that is a very sweet feeling. So we have to go back to things we talked about. And here's the fundamentals, back to the fundamentals. Ima Adam Tofei says, Atzma Kaguv Shebetocha Neshama. If a person, how do you identify yourself? Do you identify yourself as a body? Primarily a body that happens to have a soul in it. And your reality is a physical reality. So, beguf ein metzius shel achdus gemura. In a body, you don't have total unity. You may have brief flashes of unity, but that's about it. True unity only exists when a person understands that he is a soul that is enclosed in a body. He's mazgus amitis, the true connection, the true merging. He's achdus amitis, a true unity. Einena kayemes guf, does not happen with bodies. He kayemes ach v'rach b'koach v'ruchani shibarim shemazot. It only happens through the spiritual power that's in a person. If you want to be united with people, you will never, ever be united with them if you don't understand the energy of your soul. As we'll explain, the soul is very versatile. And the soul has this ability to unify. You know, unity in a physical way isn't really, not unity, it's just a way for individuals to take advantage of each other. It's a way for people to get along without killing each other. A.K.A. United Nations. Supposedly it's a United Nations. You want to tell me that's United Nations? Well, maybe now they're all united to kill the Jews. Right? But they're not really. Just trying, how are we not going to kill each other, really? Right? You know, this is true in marriage as well. You know, let's be honest. What was the initial attraction that one person has for another? You're not going to tell me it's not physical. You're not going to tell me it's somehow body related. And body has many definitions. Body can be how smart you are, how clever you are, how witty you are, how funny you are. That's all body stuff. I mean, let's be honest. When you got married for any deep reasons? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. No one has to feel bad about it. No one's ever expects it to start any different. But we sure hope it's going to improve. Right? So, you know, when can you say that a husband and wife are really one? They're really united. And so not only a husband and wife, it could be friends. I mean, it could be any analogy that you want to draw. Father and son, mother and daughter. To really be united, you know? But, you know, most marriages, there's no real unity. It's all infatuation and excitement and, you know, look at the person you married. You know, if they were as ugly as sin, would you have married them? You probably wouldn't. What do you mean? Well, she's a wonderful person, but yeah, but I can't stand looking at her. So, you know, that's a very physical kind of thing, right? You know, what does a good therapist do nowadays? All they really do is create peace treaties between husbands and wives. Like a peace treaty. Let's find a way to get along. You know, I have nothing against therapists, God forbid. And they do wonderful things. But they don't know about this soul business. Remember, we said it before in the book. Jews have to have Jewish therapists, soulful therapists. Because we have an extra part to us that the therapist didn't learn in school yet. Freud didn't know about the soul. But we have it, and if we ignore it, then we're ignoring the easiest way to get along, and more than get along, to bond with each other. So we're not looking for peace treaties, we're looking for real unity. That real unity can only come with the soul. If you don't identify yourself as a soul, you will never be able to bond with other people properly. It will always be utilitarian relationships, which are not bonded relationships. All right, and he's going to explain this a lot. I'm telling you, it's great stuff. I'm telling you, coming up. Look, hey, Bar, there it's clear. Wait, I have to finish right. If you haven't done all the things till now, the first half of the book, and you haven't got to the point where you realize you're a soul that is enclosed in a body, ain't Tom, there's going to be no reason. More properly, you'll never come to this sweetness in life. If you don't really get it, that you're a soul, and we've shown so many exercises how to do this, if you don't accept the fact that you're a soul, and you really think you're a body, you will never be able to have a sweet, merged relationship with another person. It's not possible, because bodies are separate entities. Souls can go beyond the limitations of body. This whole idea of sweetness, it's unity. It's merging. To the degree that you're lacking the ability to merge because you don't have a revealed soul, you can never try to be at unity with other people. Let's give an example. I don't like his example so much, but I'll read it. Some examples are good, some aren't so good. You take the keys to the car and you want to go somewhere. But you only have the key, you don't have the car. You don't got the car. With a key, you can't go anywhere with a key. You got the car. You're just missing the movement. Oh, so turn the key. Oh, the car goes. He can go 140 kilometers an hour once you turn the key into the car. With a key without a car, you can't go anywhere. That's the analogy. That's what we're talking about now. The knowledge, the information is just a key. You need the car that you're going to be driving. The power with which you can unify. The power of unification comes from the soul. The soul is the car. The soul is the car. If you don't have the car, the keys ain't going to get you nowhere. Im kains, therefore, hadvarim and amarim kan, what we're talking about here, it's a level beyond the next step of what we're talking about. In other words, if you've got to identify as a soul, if you don't identify as a soul, we can tell you all these wonderful things, and they're keys, they're wonderful keys, but you ain't got a car. So like, if we don't go through these activities of looking in the newspaper and saying, do I identify with this, and what am I really, I'm a soul, I'm not a body, and you really have to, even if you're not 100% in touch with that, but you got to really understand that this is what I am, then all of a sudden all these principles will now begin to get into place. Okay. So, Well, let's do another 2-3 minutes. Okay, let's just start in the next section. Just to get your mind thinking of the direction we're going into next. Okay, we're on, in the English, it's what? 127. Kufnunei. That's a pretty mistake in Hebrew. It's not borer, it should be borer. Borim kain, it's clear. Shemitzad aguf, me looking from the body. Kol adam v'adam hu metzias aso. He's his own individual being. Havaya lasso, his own existence. V'sharish koch, his maslu, his askus, notes, v'nish maso. And the root of bonding and connecting is through the soul. Kishidarnu b'inyin achnu avadol. We talked about separating and subjugating earlier. We explained there's the power of good that's in the soul. And the power of evil that's in the body. Your job is to separate all this. Thought, speech, and action. Separate that and focus on what you really are. There is a root to the person that's the root of the guv, good. On the other hand, there's the root that's the root of evil. Tov, good, humiloshen chibur, is from, the Hebrew word tov, good, comes from the expression of connection. Good in Judaism means connected. Why? He proves it from a verse in the Torah. The Torah says, lo tov, heyosalamado. It's not good for man to be alone. So from the negative, what's the positive? Together is good. The Jewish definition of good means together. Because not good means alone. It says, first man was alone. He's not good. It's not good. It's not good to be alone. So what does good mean? Good means being together. That is the definition of good. From the negative, you see the positive. If alone isn't good, then being together is good. So now here's the critical point. What is the power that does unify? What is the real depth of the good? What's this power that separates, that makes you alone? In other words, what is it that makes you alone and not good? And what makes you together and is good? What's the key for that? So he brings Bikisvei Moron Hagon Rav Dessler's Atzal Mavur, from the writings of Rav Dessler. For those who, it's now is in English, it's called Strive for Truth, Volume 1, the first 70, 80 pages, it's right here, talks about this concept. The real fundamental work of a person in this world, it depends on two concepts, and this is what we're going to talk a lot about next week. One's called Kabbalah, means receiving. The other one's called Nesina, is called giving. We did it about 5-6 years ago. We did it. The two concepts, giving and taking. HaKabbalah hi shor shevrada. Taking is the root of separation. We can't really define taking as essentially evil. Let's say a person gets something honestly. You're not stealing, you're not cheating. We can't say, you know, I received a gift that's bad. Because it's bad. It's the root of bad. Nesina lumasos, giving, on the other hand, hushar shatov, is the root of good. V'inkein hushar shisachtus, it's the beginning of unity with people. And the entire world rests on this. We're going to talk about next week these principles. In other words, there's a concept, if I take, even though it is may not be bad, but it's the root of the evil that can come from me. And if I give, that's the root of all the positive that's going to come out of me. So we got to start learning these terms, Nesina and Kabbalah, giving and taking. Now, we're not just saying taking illegally. Getting used to taking, getting used to giving. And what we're going to do next week is going to be fascinating. We're going to analyze the activities we do. And to the degree that your activities are giving activities, those are activities that are soulful activities, and those are activities that will bind you with people. To the degree that we take, those are the things that separate us from people. So, you know, and what's interesting is a lot of actions that appear to be giving activities are really taking activities. And some activities that appear to be taking activities are really giving activities. And now we have to begin to learn the depths of what it means to give and take. If you're going to spend, and we're going to get the direction, to the degree that your day is filled with giving, to that degree you are going to be able to bond with people. If a marriage has problems or a friendship has problems, there's one simple answer. There's too much taking in this marriage. And they're more separated from each other. And it might even be your giving is taking. If there's more giving, then the marriage will thrive. The friendship will thrive. So we gotta start thinking, what kind of society do we live in? Is it a society of giving? Or is it a society of taking? Think about it. Think when you're at work. That's your homework for this week. You know, and when you come back next week, we'll start talking about this. Ask yourself, are you more of a giver or are you more of a taker? It's not such a simple answer. The mother who makes food for her family, would you say she's a giver or she's a taker? You'd think she's a giver. And maybe she's a giver. But she could also be a very nasty taker.
Isn't she doing a mitzvah?
We'd have to know why she's doing it.
Isn't that a mitzvah?
It depends why you're doing it. Depends why you're doing it. What if you're invited to your mother-in-law's house for dinner and you accept the invitation? Are you a taker? Or are you a giver? I'm taking out the garbage. Am I a giver or am I a taker? You're buying your wife an anniversary present. Are you a giver or are you a taker? You know, if you give her a very romantically inclined day, you're going to be able to take something away at the end of the night. And if that's the whole reason that was all going on, that was, you were just a taker. And what happens? What happens when the husband gives and gives only because he wanted to come away with a take, and the wife doesn't give him anything that day? Whew, it's going to go on after that. The fights that's going to come, the misunderstandings going to come, right? So let's start thinking through our days. What I was doing, giving or taking? Giving is an act of the soul. Taking is an act of the body. Taking is an act of separation. The more you're into the body, the more you're separated. The more you're into the soul, the more you're together. How do you identify with it? A soul gives, never takes. A body takes, never gives. Got to think about that. A lot of ideas we talked about today. But next week is going to be fascinating. He's going to show you ways that you can get close to people by giving to other people. Say fascinating ideas. You want to get close to somebody? Give to somebody else. What? Give to somebody else? How's that going to work? You're going to find out fascinating ideas. Okay, sorry. I got to go to the next class.
I have a computer. And
okay, yeah. All Yehudis have a nice trip.
Like
next week's class is going to be well worth it. It's really good stuff next week. Oh, sorry. You going to be out of town?
Yeah. Okay.